When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What if free people could live secure in the knowledge that their security did not rest upon the threat of instant U.S. retaliation to deter a Soviet attack, that we could intercept and destroy strategic ballistic missiles before they reached our own soil or that of our allies? I know this is a formidable technical task, one that may not be accomplished before the end of this century. I call upon the scientific community in our country, those who gave us nuclear weapons, to turn their great talents now to the cause of mankind and world peace, to give us the means of rendering these nuclear weapons impotent and obsolete.
I was 18 years old when I caught a very short documentary on the Discovery Channel. Well, documentary is a touch overly kind, shall we say. It was a 15-minute program with no speech, only excerpts of news reports, which faded into a black screen with white writing on top, and then back to more pictures. As this visual to and fro told its story, a true story, it was one that kept coming back into my mind repeatedly over the last 27 years. You see, this alleged true story is so mind-blowingly shocking that I waited for its eventual full, thorough retelling. I started listening to podcasts, and I'd search and find the odd mention here or there, but nothing to get my teeth into. And then I started podcasting, but focusing on the paranormal and spooky things. But I'd always check to see if someone was going to do a deep dive on this story. The story that's literally played over and over in my head for years. Why? Because this documentary explained that for around a decade, top scientists and people who worked around them began allegedly committing suicide. Okay, you may say, well, over a decade, sadly, people will commit suicide. And I agree 100%. But these guys all shared a few commonalities. Firstly, there was no signs of depression prior. No suicidal ideation. Secondly, the method chosen to kill themselves, well, as you'll hear, to say they were unusual would be an understatement of the decade. But most intriguingly, they'd all worked for either Marconi or related companies. Companies that dealt with top secret weaponry, with high-grade, highly classified radar systems. And, by that date's standard anyway, futuristic computer models. And they all worked for companies that were contracted for the US SDI, or the Strategic Defense Initiative. But you, like I, will probably know it better by its more common name, the Star Wars program. And that speech you heard at the beginning of the show, that was Ronald Reagan announcing the launch of the SDI. So, not only did all of our alleged suicide victims all work in similar working environments, there was also over 20 suicides in that decade in that industry alone. which apparently, statistically, is over double the average. For years after watching that documentary, I couldn't believe how many people had not heard about these deaths. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, nor am I an investigative journalist. But this is truly mind-blowing. How few people know about what could be one of the biggest cases of either sabotage, espionage, traitors or patriots since wartime. We just don't know which. We don't know who the good guys are or who the bad guys are. I should explain before we delve in. I wanted to cover this case thoroughly over the next 10 episodes. And not to try and solve it. Not that sort of true crime. I mean, good luck if you wish to try and do that. By all means, be my guest. But to spread awareness of how certain things like justice, things like our faith in law and order, in fairness, both legally and morally, how these certain things are delivered to us, the general public, all wrapped in a nice neat bow by the press. But if we start to unravel that bow, that perfect little gift-wrapped narrative not only starts to fall apart, but it begins to reassemble itself into a very uncomfortable monster. So, over the next 10 episodes of True Crime Tuesday, we're going to unravel that box. We're going to look inside together, and we'll watch that monster grow. My name's Kevin Eustace. This is True Crime Tuesday, and this is Episode 1, The Beginning of an Enigma. As we've probably all figured out by now, when we hear news from a politician, be it a president or a prime minister, that news has been in the works for a good 18 to 24 months prior. We find out at the last minute, when everything's decided and everything is cut and dry. And the alleged special relationship between the UK and America was no higher than when Reagan and Thatcher were jointly in power. We've all heard the phrase the industrial military complex, the idea that war is a racket, it makes money, and that's all that some people care about, irrelevant of the human cost. It's believed that before we even heard Reagan announce the SDI, that Thatcher was against the Star Wars program. Namely, because Thatcher believed our nuclear deterrent was vital. And Reagan's speech, as you heard, points out he would hope this could end the need for a nuclear deterrent if every country on Earth knew America had something in space that could disarm these weapons before they made impact. But allegedly, there would be one thing that would sway Margaret Thatcher. And unsurprisingly, that was the power of the mighty dollar. And by all accounts, America offered the UK millions of dollars worth of research funding if they give the nod towards the Star Wars program. But you need to think about this logically from a world view. Let's say, for example, you're the common enemy at the time, i.e. Russia. This is the last thing you would want. Therefore, if you get wind that the US and the UK are going to team up in order to create something which makes your nuclear arsenal absolutely obsolete, what are you going to do about it? Well, one thing you could do is you could go out and you could try to get rid of the people who may be the best people to help make that come true. And this brings us directly to the first alleged victim of this entire podcast. We're talking about Professor Keith Bowden. Professor Bowden was not only an expert in his field, he was co-founder of the Department for Computer Scientists at Essex University. Known for not only designing some supercomputers, but also for designing some computer-controlled aircraft. Basically, the precursor to the modern-day drone. And he'd also done work for Marconi. And it was widely rumoured that Marconi were going to be handed the contract to work on the Star Wars programme. And the wealth that this contract would bring into the UK was essential for the government. But there was a slight caveat. Only the best of the best would be needed. Highly classified, top secret weapons, radar systems, and imagine the clearance alone needed in order to access them. You could well imagine the lengths people would go to keep secrets under lock and key. And what if you found something morally that you didn't agree with? And you didn't want to go through with what you've been asked? Do you think the fact you've signed a piece of paper saying, "I won't tell," is suitable for any government? Or what if, like the Manhattan Project, you'd been siloed, so you may know how to beat an egg, but you don't know how to make a cake? But then somebody from another country offers to make you a millionaire if you tell them how to beat an egg. And what if then your nation, your employees, find out about it? There's a reason why the phrase "someone has been suicided" has found its way into the modern lexicon. And that's simply because, as much as some may think differently, we, the general public, no longer buy the bow-tied box filled with someone else's version of events. And it's reasons like this very topic that we'll cover over the next 10 weeks that the public psyche seems to have moved quicker than certain parts of government may think. But right now, let's go back to Professor Bowden and what many call the beginning of what's become known as the Marconi murders. Our amazing story begins very quietly at a nice dinner party one evening in March 1982. The co-founder of the Department of Computer Scientists for the University of Essex, Professor Keith Bowden, is out with friends. He's strictly sticking to soft drinks, according to his friends, as he's driving due to an early start in the morning. And he's dropping hints something big may be coming his way. Our well-paid and well-liked professor, with a highly immaculate Rover car, suddenly careened across a four-lane highway and plunged off a bridge, down an embankment and smashed into a rail yard. He was found dead at the scene. Police, at the inquest, said that Bowden's blood alcohol level had exceeded the legal limit, and therefore he must have been driving too fast. So his death was ruled death by dangerous driving, something his wife and his friends all testified against. They'd seen him refuse alcohol and drink nothing but soft drinks. Another intriguing part in the whole narrative is the fact his solicitor advised his wife to have the car looked at, because the solicitor knew just how much pride he took in his automobile, and on viewing the photos of the wreckage, noticed the tyres were very, very worn. It turns out somebody had switched the tyres. Mrs. Bowden claimed, and I quote, "My solicitor instructed an accident specialist to examine the automobile. Somebody had taken the wheels off and put others on that were old and worn. However, at the inquest, we were not allowed to bring this up. Someone asked if the car was in sound condition, and the answer was yes." Although probably through a mix of both embarrassment and shock, his wife did not go on to dispute the verdict. She did go on to say, "This definitely looks like foul play." And you must admit If an automobile expert can come down and verify that all four tyres have been changed on that car, why is that not allowed into evidence? Why, when the question is asked, is the car in a good condition, somebody else is allowed to say yes and everything has moved on? Don't forget, we are talking about one of the most intelligent people in the UK when it comes to computers. Somebody who'd previously worked with Marconi. Somebody who would most definitely have been in on the Star Wars programme. And therefore, not even arguably, definitely, somebody that an enemy of this programme would want eliminated. However, what we are left with are the legal facts that this poor man died by drunk driving. But how the pretty little narrative starts to unravel when we start untying that bow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Margaret Thatcher, trying to stay staunchly opposed to losing her nuclear deterrent, eventually turned cheek when she was offered £1.5 billion worth of contracts to help America with the Star Wars program. If we add inflation into that, you're looking well over £3 billion worth today. And that's enough to turn anybody's head, even a country's government, especially when they know they have the brain power within their country to help with such a mission. But here's where things start to get a little bit cloudy, because you could on the one hand say, well, maybe it's clearly pointing at Russia. Russia wouldn't want to see any of this take place. They're going to send assassins over. They're going to try and wipe the slate clean of anyone with any intelligence that could aid in this mission. However, interestingly, Margaret Thatcher ignored all of her counsel, who told her this idea is foolish, and not only is it foolish, by the time it would be workable, the Russians would have figured out how to combat it. Therefore, a counter theory could be, what if a government within a government decided it was within the UK's best interest to get rid of these people before they had the chance to be employed? One such person was an expert radar designer, 49-year-old Roger Hill. He was also a draftsman for Marconi. A happy-go-lucky sort of guy, liked by everyone at work, and by all accounts had a lovely family life. But in March 1985, Roger was found dead at his family home, apparently shooting himself to death with a shotgun. Now, of course, we do need to take into account that many, if not the majority of suicide victims, do act happy, serene, peaceful, because they've talked through in their head what they're going to do. They've made peace with themselves. It's highly unusual for someone who commits suicide to be morose and to appear like they're going to commit suicide. So obviously it can't be ruled out that Roger Hill was someone who was sadly just clinically depressed and took his own life. But as you will hear over the next 9 episodes, even coroners, even judges came out and said, this appears to be beyond coincidence. The sheer number of workers for this one firm, for this series of contracts, is well above the standard rate. Even some Labour members of Parliament demanded an inquiry into the number of suicides that were taking place. However, their request was met with silence. Next, to add to our string of suicides thus far, we have Jonathan Walsh. a 29-year-old digital communications expert. Now, John was overworking for British Telecom in a secret research facility known as Martlesham Health. Now, this facility is also partly owned by GEC, or the General Electricity Company, the company which owns Marconi. Now, whilst in this secret research facility, which is based in the Ivory Coast in Africa, he'd shown fear for his life, even going so far as to confide in a fellow BT member by the name of Haynes. A few days later, he was found dead after apparently leaping from his hotel balcony to the concrete roof below. Immediately, both BT and GEC wanted to cover this up as a suicide, despite the fact there was no note left. His family kind of accepted that as an answer, although they did know he wasn't the sort to take his own life. They knew he'd been saving for things, he was keeping a diary of where his spending and saving were up to, and his actions were again not that of someone who was going to kill himself. However, as we discussed before, not all suicide cases show morose or any sort of melancholy before they commit the ultimate act. So the lack of a suicide note is neither here nor there in this situation. But something that is here or there in this situation is that the coroner on the Ivory Coast said that Jonathan's body showed signs of an altercation before it landed on the roof, as was the fact that the Ivory Coast police had even been looking to question Haynes. However, BT got him out of the country. Haynes's version of events was that Jonathan had confided to him he'd made a local girl pregnant, and having a partner back at home, the stress had all got too much for him. And this was the story that was told to Jonathan's parents. And they believed it, up until their solicitor found the original coroner's report from the Ivory Coast. They then asked for a second autopsy to be done, and the UK government refused. Not only that, but it turns out from the impact on the original autopsy, the coroner speculated that the fall that would have killed Jonathan was not from his balcony, but instead from the room above. When people went in to check that room, they found some of Jonathan's possessions scattered around. Not only that, they found messages carved into the walls. And these messages implied that he'd been kept as some sort of prisoner, and that both the company and Haynes were never going to let him leave. Eventually, due to all of the contrary evidence against a suicide, the UK coroner's office decided to change the verdict from suicide to open verdict. And even though that was the coroner's office attempt to acquiesce to the situation, still, quite rightly, 3 years after when that verdict was given, the family of Jonathan and the coroner from the Ivory Coast both wished to know why the evidence pertaining to the scars and marks on Jonathan's body prior to the fall were never mentioned or brought up. And this is the point I was trying to make earlier, both in the first instance with the professor and now with Jonathan. We have alleged lawmakers, the people who allegedly make justice happen, refusing to hear evidence because it doesn't suit the narrative they want out. It doesn't suit what they want to go in, the nice bow-tied box. And I think the interesting thing to consider both with Jonathan's case and with Professor Bowden's case is the fact we know we're not talking about Russia here. We're talking about the UK government. We're talking about decisions they've made to basically, in my opinion, obstruct justice. Why would they do that? Why in the £3 billion worth of UK income would they feel pressured to do that? Now, around the same time that Ronald Reagan was giving his speech about launching the Star Wars program, a very important person in the picture went missing. And that's Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Godley. He was age 49 and a defence expert. He was the head of the study unit at the Royal Military College of Science, and he disappeared in April 1983. Now, interestingly, his father left him more than $60,000, only on the proviso that he claims it by 1987. And he never showed up, and therefore is presumed dead. But he disappeared without a trace, without explanation. And yes, there are two sides of that coin. You could say, this guy is perfectly military trained. If he wanted to evade detection, he could evade detection. But the other side of that is, how would you go about removing an individual that they've not only attained the rank of Lieutenant Colonel, but they've also become the head of study at the Royal Military College? The gentleman in question was also 49 years old, and if you want to abscond from the army or from the navy or from a military force in the UK, when you reach a certain age, you have a conversation with your superiors. You do not abscond into the night. And believe me, I know, because we've said it before, we do not know people's frame of mind during all of these events. And yes, they could all be down to the person's individual state of mind. Arguably without Jonathan. One thing that does become evidently clear as we carry on through these episodes, or should I say, will become evidently clear, is when these suicides or alleged suicides are challenged by the families of those victims, the best the UK coroner can do is change them to an open verdict, basically meaning we don't know how they died. And for some reason, they seem to think that's acceptable, to leave a family in limbo in that way. For me, I'd like to think a legal system should be, if a judge is saying we don't know how that person died, that should lead to an investigation. What it certainly shouldn't just lead to is a change of wording on a death certificate. But thank God I've never been in that situation, and maybe it does give that family a sense of closure to know that their loved one legally did not take their own life. But thinking seriously about the situation, I'm not too sure which one I'd sooner. Would your head rest easier on a pillow knowing that your loved one chose to take their own life, or knowing that you've no idea how they died? The one thing I do know is that if a government told me, okay, we'll change it from suicide to open verdict, I'd like to know what they're going to do then. If you're telling me you don't know how my family member died, then please do your job and investigate what happened. Listen to the evidence. Listen to people when they say there is a room with carved messages in the walls. Why are you not taking that into account? Listen when somebody says, I'm an expert and those tyres have been changed. Why is this not getting heard? Remember, it's very easy to point a finger at Russia, which I think people wanted us all to do, and say, damn those communists. But it wasn't a Russian who refused to listen to evidence in a courtroom. It wasn't a Russian who accepted £3 billion worth of investment for a project their own scientific team said was futile. And there was certainly no mention of Russia carved into the wall of some poor man's makeshift jail cell. And if you think today's episode, our first episode of this season looking into the so-called Marconi murders, has seemed a little bit unreal, well, next week we raise the bar, as we look at the deaths of two more people. And these two men got so much attention for how they died. And I quote, three MPs who called for a government statement on the deaths and an Alliance Defense spokesman said, "These incidents were stretching coincidence too far, especially when the sensitive nature of the men's work was considered." Unbelievably, we've only covered 3 deaths thus far, and we are literally at the tip of the iceberg. So please make sure to join me again next week for True Crime Tuesday, where we take our second look at the so-called Marconi murders. I'll quickly add in, we do have a wonderful Patreon that you can go and sign up to, where you can receive these episodes both early and ad-free, and we host a twice-monthly Patreon-only podcast called Cold Case. In Cold Case, we take a look at some of the most famous and infamous unsolved cases from throughout history. Simply head over to patreon.com/Crime Tuesday. That's patreon.com/Crime Tuesday. And until next Tuesday, take care.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.